There we go. Welcome to the January 10th, 2012 Morro Bay City Council meeting. Welcome to everybody here. Welcome to everybody at home and staff, of course. Let the record reflect that all members of council are present, and we'll begin, please, with a moment of silence. If you would please stand and face the flag, we'll be led in the pledge by Ms. Christine Johnson.
Thank you. Begin. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, liberty and justice for all. Thank you.
Thank you, Christine. Item D2 on the agenda has been pulled. That request has been withdrawn. We have some board vacancies: Planning Commission, Recreation and Parks Commission, Public Works Advisory Board, and TBID, Tourism Business Improvement District Advisory Board. We have eight openings. If anyone in the community is interested in serving on one of these, we invite you to call the city clerk, Jamie Boucher. There will be interviews coming up next month, early in the month, and the closing date for applications is Thursday, January 19th at 5 o'clock. I'm sorry, the interview date scheduled for January 23rd. That would not be February. So please, we need some applicants. If any of you would like to serve, please come forward. And I will start with Carla.
Good evening. Thank you. A few announcements. Tomorrow is the Merchants Association meeting, Morro Bay Merchants Association meeting at 8:30. Fortunately, I don't have to go far because it's held at my restaurant. Thursday is the JPA meeting with Cayucas and Morro Bay. It will be at 6 o'clock at the Community Center. Also on Thursday at 5:30. At the community center is Eco Rotary. That will be its new meeting location. And for those of you who are interested, we'd love to see you there. Thursday kicks off the Bird Festival Thursday night. This weekend is the Morro Bay Bird Festival. And last but not least, tomorrow, Integrated Waste Management will be reviewing the plastic bag ordinance at 1:30 in San Luis Obispo at the county government office. So anyone interested in attending, there will be public hearing. That's it for now.
Just a couple quick things. Our local economic development committee met this morning. We meet once a month at the Inn at Morro Bay, and I think we really accomplished some very good things today. The Grange spaghetti feed is February 25th. Is that right? And, I have to.
Christine Rogers from EVC up to make a presentation. Good evening, Mr. Gammel. Welcome. Mr. Gammel is with Bellavino's, and he's here our business spot. Welcome.
Thank you very much. Pleasure to be here. Bellavino's, as you know, took over the old building there in Morro Bay that had been kind of an eyesore for a long time, and we fixed it up. And my partner, Kathy Cohen, she did all the design work for the inside, picked out everything. We've tried to make it, as you know, it's the newest wine and cheese bar in the area, and it's just top-notch in every way. We keep it to the 21 and over crowd. The hours are very flexible. We try to merge in with what the city is doing and trying to do, and we open generally at 2 o'clock and stay open until people want to go home, and we're very cognizant of the fact that of how people are. If they need a ride home, we get them a ride home. And we try to be, it's a friendly atmosphere. And even though it's on an upper echelon scale in the sense of design, if you come in and you don't have jeans on, we have to ask you to leave. We're very casual. We carry over 100 different wines from mostly around California. We do serve food, some wonderful food, and champagne, sakis, different kinds of drinks to appease the people. Well, as you know, we're right next to Dorn's there. And we would welcome any of you to come anytime and be a part. If you want to come, we want to help to establish, do some donation works with some of the charitable organizations that are around, and just try to to drive business to the city in a way which would make everybody happy, which, of course, is impossible. But we work very diligently to be a clean place where people can come and sit and chat and have a nice glass of wine and a little bit of food and enjoy yourselves. And if you have any questions, I'd certainly be open to anything. Sometimes I never cover all the bases, but if there's anything that you're interested in, we're trying to get an older limousine out front to drive people back and forth sometimes when they can't drive, as I said before. But it's one of the newest places that's been built in Morro Bay, with the exception, I think, of a couple of churches in the last 10 or 12 years. And we welcome you to come in at any time. And we have a friendly staff. We have a full-fledged sommelier there who can talk to you forever and the next day about wines and where they come from. And what I know about wines in the beginning could be written on the head of a pen. But it's a very interesting field and arena to be in at this time and the economy of this state. And we just thank you for allowing us to be a part of your city and letting us work with you in any way that we can. And if you want to, after this is over, come up and say, hey, can we have a charity there at any time? We'd love to have you. I'd love to work with you anyway. My partner's Kathy Cohen back here, and she's really the main person who makes the decisions. I just hide behind the door and duck. So thank you again for letting us come, and if you have any questions, please ask whatever you'd like.
Thank you, Bruce. Thanks for coming tonight. Christine. I may invite Ms. Johnson up next. Hi, welcome.
Thank you, Mayor Yates. Christine Johnson, President, Morro Bay Friends of the Library. I'm going to try and sneak in two announcements as Christine Johnson, Board Member, Morro Bay 4th of July as well. So first, the library. The Friends of the Library are inviting the entire community to a celebration of life for Jane Horton Bailey at the library this Sunday. It's January 15, 2 o'clock. Jane's family will also be there as well. And as many of you know, Jane was the leader of a group of friends of the library who raised the funds and built the Morro Bay Library at its Harbor Ave location years ago. So she did pass away at the end of November. So we'd like to invite everyone to come this Sunday to celebrate her life. Other library news, the Friends organization is celebrating our 30th anniversary this year in 2012. So we are 30 years young. Stay tuned for birthday events all year long at your Morro Bay Library. So I can close the book on the library, open the book for 4th of July. I'm here tonight to share some of the tentative lineup for the events of the day, and the 4th of July will kick off once again on the 4th of July this year, and it will be the AMP Surf event that starts the day in the early morning hours by the Rock, so that's a very exciting partnership for Morro Bay 4th. Then the third annual Morro Bay 4th of July Bike Parade, from the Rock to Tidelands Park. We had nearly 500 people last year, so we'd love to have more than 500 bike riders this year. So invite your family and friends, and then come along to Tidelands Park, where there's a family-friendly day of activities, food, live music, followed by fireworks. So watch for more information, too, about an incredible skateboard event, like last year's event, put on by Morro Bay resident Jack Smith. We'll be coming soon, more info about that. A new event that will help stretch out the 4th of July this year is a beer festival that Morro Bay 4th is going to be sponsoring on July 7. So hopefully,
the last 2 years we've had numerous articles in various publications. One was in the Trib. They said in December of 9, California may cut its water rations. Well, sure enough, they only cut it. We cut it off, but that was a failure. So we're going to see more rationing of our supply of our water. The New Times had an article about the Kaka water, and I think I see an article on this subject tonight during your closed session when you were talking about water rights in Chorro Valley, and I'm sure that's part of that same story. And then the Bay News had the article about the Labor Day water crisis. Water, 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 that's really the problem. And what I would like to suggest is that our desalinization plant, did a little research and find out it cost $1,700 per acre foot to make desal water, and yet our desalinization plant does not have a backup generator unless it's been provided for recently. So water is our problem, and the reason I say this is when we get done building this new wastewater recycling plant or wastewater treatment plant, wherever it's built, the product of that plant can be our savior for the water. And I want to, when you guys get a chance to vote the JPA meeting, please emphasize that the recycling from the wastewater treatment plant can be our solution. And so we say that maybe there's too much cost for the wastewater plant, but if we don't have water from any other source, and if we could recharge the aquifers that we have in the Moro Valley and recharge the Churro Valley, then we would have a secondary or backup supply for water. Right now, most of our wells in the Moro Valley are inoperative because of the saltwater intrusion and the nitrates. And if we were able to put recycled water in the valley and flush these impurities out, when we needed to have water supply, we'd have something to come from. So please think about it. I don't think that Cayucas is our good partner, so we have to look out for Morro Bay, and I hope you do when you vote again at the JPA meeting. Thank you.
Thank you, Barry. Thanks for coming down tonight. Who would like to go next? Come on up. And if you'd pull the microphone right down to your... There we go.
Thank you.
And tell us your name.
Hello, my name is Anya O'Toole, and I live in Morro Bay. I'm almost 9 years old. My grandma Penny Harrington and I are opening a new shop in Morro Bay. We are here to invite all of you to attend to our grand opening on Saturday, January 14th, from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. Our shop is Ruby Dragon at 600 Morro Bay Boulevard, Suite C, next door to Morro Bay Drug and Gift. I drew this picture of Ruby Dragon. At Ruby Dragon, we sell all kinds of rocks and crystals, jewelry made by Grandma, and gifts. Some of our gifts are teapots with flowers made of tea, crystal dragons, wind chimes, candle holders, and many more things. We will also be featuring local artists, craftspeople, and fun events. I hope that all the people in Morro Bay will come see our new shop. I know how to work the cash register.
What was your name again? Annie?
Anya O'Toole.
Audie?
Anya.
Thank you, Anya. Who would like to go next? Come on. Hi, and welcome.
Hi, I'm Krista Kendall. Good evening, Mayor, City Council members. I just wanted to come talk a little bit about last meeting. It was my first meeting. I've been busy at home raising two small kids. I know it's no excuse, but I just kind of wasn't paying attention to what was going on. So it was kind of an eye-opening experience to attend. And I honestly left feeling sick, and I left because I feel like nobody's listening. Even now, while you're eating, Mr. Mayor, to me, it just feels like there's a lackadaisical attitude going on here, and nobody's listening or paying attention to what's going on. Anyway, I'm back because I realize I have to take responsibility and be part of my city and speak up for what I want and need. Also, I feel bad I didn't get to address Mr. Riddell and his property, and I completely respect that he owns that stunning property, Cerrito Peak, that everyone's all up in arms about, and I do respect it's his property, and I feel for him. He's in a really tough situation. However, given the Coastal Commission's letter, albeit last minute, having read that, I am just absolutely baffled as to how four of you didn't vote to appeal that, and at least just be really happy to know that you guys are discussing purchasing this property. I think we need to save this one-of-a-kind place. Through the research of this property, it does seem like there's this forgetting going on in this town about history, traditions, nature, butterfly migration. Like even Eagle Rock. I know Monarch Watch, who keeps track of the monarchs that spend the winter here. They come in and count, but most people around here don't even know that they're roosting here for the winter, nor what the count is. That's really it. Anyway, we just need to figure out and communicate what's where, what means what. And Eagle Rock, I'm kind of curious, like, why is it called Eagle Rock? Does it look like an eagle? Did it look like, does the, you know, it's very rocky. I mean, it's a landmark. Thank you.
Thank you. Who would like to go next? Good evening, Betty.
Good evening. My name is Betty Winholtz. I'd like to address an item on your consent agenda tonight, and it is the one that has to do with A5, the financial reconciliation of the Harbor Walk project, and reallocation of excessive revenues. And I know that we are having to do, and I'm going to admit here that I have not read the staff report. It's the title that caught my attention at the last minute. But if there are excessive monies in the Harbor Walk, it seems to me that we have a pretty good-sized debt of rehabilitation that we're supposed to do as part of our incumbent upon us based on having gone into the dunes to build that, and that we have a place that I think it was almost, I'm not going to say how much because I'll be saying it wrong, but it's in the tens of thousands of dollars that we are obligated to pay to restore that land. And so if there's excess funds, that just kind of was a red flag to me, and so I hope you'll address that and answer my question about that tonight. The second thing I want to say tonight is that I, too, lost a friend tonight. I did know Jane Bailey, and she was a wonderful woman, high-standing community member. But another woman who's lived here for 35 years, her name is Candace Vitito, she died on Sunday. And I would just like to acknowledge her and honor her. She was a hard worker. She fought for a positive renovation of the state park 10 years ago when we were fighting that and trying to, in fact, Mr. Yates was mayor at the time, and trying to get state parks not to be so drastic about cutting 300 trees. And she's participated in other things. She's lived in the League's old house down on the waterfront. She's lived in North Morro Bay. She's lived in South Morro Bay. And she and her husband have really striven to maintain the heritage and the history of this community, as was mentioned earlier. And one of her dreams was to open up a museum here that honored some of the famous characters that were associated with the hearse. So there would be another attraction in Morro Bay that would be connected to the hearse castle and bring people here to town. Unfortunately, she died, and that will not come to fruition. The last thing I want to say is regard to the announcement that Ms. Borchard made tonight about the IWMA meeting, but she did not say why that's an important meeting tomorrow. And it's because they're going to take a vote on whether or not to move forward on an ordinance that would have single-use plastic bags banned in the county. And this is an ordinance that the Grocers Association, our own Spencers, are all in favor of, that people bring their own bags to the store and you use those rather than the plastic that's throwaway that we find along the freeway, in the tree branches, out in the gyra that's out in the ocean, stuck around, you know, birds. And so I'm wishing that she would change her vote, as she announced last week, and that she would honor our environment and ourselves and vote opposite.
Thank you, Betty. Who would like to go next? Anyone? Going once. Going twice. Back to council. Thank you, Bruce, for introducing Bellavino's, and Christine for coming down with your announcements, and Barry and Anya, she left, and Betty and Krista. And Krista, I'm going to address a couple things. You know, if I've ever given you the impression that I'm not paying attention to the speakers, you know, when you were saying that, I was having eye contact with you. I certainly, you're all my neighbors and fellow citizens, I certainly pay attention to everybody who comes up here. In the olden days, I'm going to go back to 1992 now. As many of you know, I was a writer and a columnist, and the table where AGP is now, in the old, when we had press, that was the press table, and I would come each meeting and sit at that table with the other, with the Tribune and the Sun Bulletin and a couple of other New Times, and we'd crowd in there and take notes and pictures. And at that time, the meetings were applause turned into cheers turned into jeers, and jeers turned into boos, and we're kind of back where we were, and we've enjoyed this for 20 years now, having these peaceful meetings, and that's why we do it the way we do it. And that's why when people applaud, not for kids or honoring somebody, we certainly applaud, but you know, during a public hearing, like Sarita Peak, I think that's when you heard it, somebody spoke and received applause. That's not the appropriate time to do that because of what I just stated. So that's why we have the rules that we have. The community runs the rules. I've always felt that the community is supportive of the way we operate here. I believe that. And you have the ability to change us. And I certainly don't hear that. I think everybody agrees that the way we operate here works pretty good for us. Anything else anybody want to say to anybody? Oh, then you can wave. You know, some people do this, and we see that. And if you're in agreement, you can wave, and we do. We see you up here. I'm going to invite Christine Rogers up now. She's with the County EVC, and she's going to give us a presentation on EVC. Good evening, Christine.
Good evening, Mayor Yates, council members, and city staff. I just want to start by saying thank you so much. I do call Morro Bay my home, and I am very proud of the work EVC is doing, so I'm thrilled to be here this evening. Does this not work? Okay. Next slide, please. I just want to take a brief second to talk about another program that the EVC administrates, the San Luis Obispo County Energy Watch Partnership. Just a couple of highlights. Since the program cycle started in January of 2010, 352,000 kilowatt hours have been achieved in the city of Morro Bay. The Small Business Direct Install Program has invested $81,000 into retrofits for our commercial businesses here and achieved an estimated savings of $51,000 per year for those businesses. If you consider the fact that there is a multiplier effect, and when those dollars are reinvestment into our local community, that impact is more substantial. It definitely is worth supporting, and we appreciate the fact that Morro Bay participates with us. For those of you who are not familiar with the Economic Vitality Corporation, we are a countywide organization. In 1994, we achieved our 501c3 status. We are funded through public and private partnerships or sponsorships, as well as having 100 paid members who participate in contributing to our activities. We have a 32-member board of directors made up of business leaders and local elected officials. This is an overwhelming slide, but it is also a great illustration of the broad expertise and knowledge base that we have in forming our activities and our advocacy efforts. We also partner with our educational institutions and other organizations in the county that have similar missions. Our primary objective is, of course, to support our local businesses. We do that by being a conduit for venture capital and angel networks. We have two business loan programs that we administrate. One is a microloan program. One is a loan guarantee program for those business owners that just might not quite be able to meet the commercial loan underwriting standards. We stand alongside them and help that economic development to occur. We are also business advocates that can take many forms. For instance, a large-scale solar project, we knew this type of a project has economic benefit, environmental benefit to our communities, and we stood behind those projects. Or the airport, possibly broadband infrastructure, those are the type of things that the EVC would stand for. We are a resource for international trade, primarily through helping you find consultation or in education opportunities, and also coordinate local industry economic analysis, such as the economic strategy that we are now building on. I know I don't have to tell you guys how wonderful the quality of life here is in San Luis Obispo. I was sitting out front waiting for the meeting to start, watching the sun go down by Morro Rock. So, I mean, we know that. Outside of our region, they know that. But we also have our economic challenges. Next slide, please. Oh. In good and bad economic times, we have a lack of head of household jobs. That's one of the primary goals of the economic strategy. We are challenged to attract employees. This is a cry that we have heard across the clusters in helping to enhance awareness of the broad opportunities we have here for careers and for jobs. There's a job-housing imbalance. We know that it's expensive to live here. Some of our industries lack critical mass. Contrary to belief, competition is a good thing. It actually helps our businesses to be more sustainable. And we are losing young population and families because of our jobs, housing imbalance, and the high cost of living. Additionally, we have a high percentage of government jobs in San Luis Obispo County. That is a great thing when the state budgets are doing fine, but when they are being reduced, it's something that we really, because of the stool, environmental, social, and environmental issues, and most importantly, it interacted very closely and engaged with our local industry leaders to make sure that those strategy initiatives were well informed. As far as the things that they looked at as part of that assessment, we looked at our occupations, the mix, the salary ranges. We looked at our annual earnings per the individual industry clusters, as well as the federal procurement earnings from those clusters, and then looking at the cluster status, which is where do our clusters stand in relation to other nationwide economies. So in this slide, it paints the picture for us. The vertical axis shows you the concentration of our industries in comparison to nationwide, which you see in that lower left-hand corner. The horizontal axis shows you the amount of growth that those industries are experiencing. So if you look at our specialized manufacturing industry, they are far more highly concentrated than other industries in the nation and are growing at a rapid pace. So this identified for us what are those clusters of opportunities in our county that continue to grow that we should be supporting and enhancing. The goal of the Economic Strategy Project was, of course, to increase jobs, competitiveness, enhance our engagement with our educational institutions, our local governments, and obviously, you know, to drive business to our core economies. You can just scroll through this slide. The primary purpose of this slide is to point out that the economic strategy was developed by and is being driven by the business industry leaders. We are working very closely with our local governments and our other stakeholder groups, but the bulk of the work, the bulk of the investment is being made by those business leaders. This is a culmination of the clusters that were identified. We have our building design and construction cluster, the green energy cluster, health services, knowledge and innovation, which is our educational institutions, marketing software firms, specialized manufacturing, and the uniquely slow county cluster, which is tourism, wine, and ag. Again, these clusters are responsible for over 90% of our growth since 1995. We currently have over 245 active members in our clusters and 20 action teams. You see here a picture of the different action teams based upon the initiatives that were identified in the economic strategy. The thing I love about this slide is you only see three projects that are deferred. The majority of these projects are moving forward and making progress. Just to highlight a few of them, the building design and construction industry recently distributed a housing survey for San Luis Obispo County. The purpose of the survey was really to establish some more current and more local data on what our housing needs are as far as housing types, locations. Are they looking for infill development? Are they looking for rural communities? You know, what really does the market support as far as housing needs go? That was distributed on December 1st, and we are in the process now of auditing those results. We had over 500 responses to that survey. They have also worked with the county's process improvement committee. That program had two tracks, building permit process improvement and land use process improvement. On the building permit implementation activities, they were very successful. It met the majority of the initiatives that were identified by the building design and construction cluster in their early conversations on the strategy. On the land use process side, while everyone felt that it was hugely beneficial in increasing the understanding of the requirements and the challenges, they are reconvening that stakeholder group to see if they can make further progress on that. Can you go back, please? For our green energy team, of course, you know, we did share that they supported the large-scale solar projects in an advocacy effort. They also convened a workshop to explore other opportunities in the solar industry, such as supply chain, innovation, design. What does the solar industry have to offer our community in the way of opportunities? That was felt to be a very successful event by the participants, that they felt that they really did connect with opportunities to invest in that solar industry. The health services Action Team is working on building awareness on the health information exchange. What are the regulatory requirements, the implementation and costs for doing that? What are the economic benefits of coming up with the health information exchange for our county? So they are coordinating informational sessions on that. The Knowledge and Innovation Group has worked very closely with Cal Poly and Cuesta College. They distributed a survey to establish a baseline for participation in the internship programs and the job placement programs that are offered by those two educational institutions. They also established a level of interest in our local employers to host the first ever local employers job fair at Cal Poly. That's going to be happening on February 23rd. The goal is, of course, to enhance the awareness of the broad range of opportunities that we have to offer here in San Luis Obispo County. There will be a subsequent job fair at Cuesta College on March 28th with the same goal in mind. The specialized manufacturing firm held their first ever business forum this morning. It was a great success. They have scheduled out presentations for the remainder of the year that focus on topics that are of specific interest to that cluster as well as our other clusters, such as rate permits and policy decisions. That on September of this year, or actually of last year, they implemented that, and it is now a short paragraph, a business impact statement that is included in all the discretionary permit staff reports that addresses the potential impacts of that project. The EVC and the consultants really wanted that to be meaningful, and since then we have been working with planning and building staff and the project steering committee to develop two programs. One is a discretionary permit program. It's a three-tiered program. It starts with a voluntary participation by the applicant. They complete an online tool that helps them to define and describe what the economic impacts of that policy might be. That then becomes part of the application document. The second tier is where they work directly with the EVC. The EVC assists them based upon data that they provide us, economic metrics that they provide us, using the EMSI modeling software, which we have gained access to through the Workforce Investment Board. That data then helps us to be better informed on what the initial direct, indirect, and induced impacts might be. That economic modeling software looks at three different multipliers: jobs, sales, and earnings. And so based upon that input, we are able to provide the planning department with some real information about what that project might have in impacting the local economy. It's based upon historical trends of what investing those dollars into those industries, you know, customarily looks like. The other benefit of that program is it provides kind of a first look at that project. The county, working with the economic strategy in the building, design, and construction cluster, has implemented a pilot project, a business assistance team. And this project is a red team. It kind of shepherds those projects through the process and if they are within an urban reserve line and are creating jobs. So in support of the county initiatives to do those things, those projects are given kind of a fast track through the permitting process. The policy adoption and modification program, in that program, the EVC becomes a referral body similar to the Slo Farm Bureau. We work with our cluster leaders to identify what the economic impacts of that policy might be and then report that, you know, to the local government agency. It also provides a pathway for the clusters to request formal advocacy from the EVC on specific issues. And we will be doing a pilot project with the Uniquely Slo Cluster on the events ordinance that is currently being reviewed. Finally, the Board of Supervisors asked the staff to update the economic element. That element originally was very detailed, had a large number of initiatives. However, no one was responsible for seeing those initiatives being carried through, and the county had no control over whether that occurred or not. That document is proposed to be modified to become an overarching guiding policy document that would point to and be consistent with the economic strategy. The first meeting is happening this Friday with the stakeholder group, and they're hoping that that will be ready for adoption in August of this year. As far as next steps for the project go, we are refining our tools and processes, working with Collaboration LLC, a business consulting firm. We have really drilled down the expectations of our cluster members, as well as providing them with tools for a more sustainable structure to keep the economic strategy in place over the future. Thank you very much.
Thank you for coming, Christine. Thank you very much for that presentation. Question? Go ahead.
Thank you. Thank you, Ms. Johnson. Just wanted you to say again the dates for the employer workshop or job fair.
The job fair is on February 23rd. In fact, if you go to the EVC website, we do have a job fair page under the Knowledge and Innovation Cluster where you can directly link to the registration for those. And that's www.slowevc.org. February 23rd is the Cal Poly Job Fair, and March 28th is the Cuesta College Job Fair.
Okay, and if a business is interested in participating, that there's openings still?
Yes, there are.
Okay, great.
And in fact, the Cal Poly Job Fair, those usually cost about $500, and they have subsidized it down to $125.
Thank you, Ms. Rogers. Anything over here?
Just a quick question. You talked a lot about the county collaboration and the things you're doing for the county. Are any of those available to cities?
At this point, we are doing a pilot project with the county so we can really make sure that it works well, that the EVC has adequate resources, and really have expectations that are realistic. That is something that's being considered for expansion after we've had an opportunity to do that.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Appreciate you coming tonight. And thank you to everybody. Okay, we are at the consent calendar. On behalf of George, I'm going to pull item A7. Any others to pull on this side?
On this side? Five, please.
Okay, could I please hear a motion approving items A1, A2, A3, A4, and A6?
So moved.
Second.
We'll give the second to Nancy. Discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries 5-0, A5, Noah.
Yes, thank you. I did want to follow up on the comments and the public regarding the restoration project. As far as really if there is a plan at this point, if there isn't, what would be our steps in the future to resolve that commitment, and specifically give you a chance to respond to the questions about how we're managing the excess there for the Harbor Walk project?
Sure. I may not get all this right. Some of these agreements predate me, so Rob, if I'm making mistakes, correct me. We had two obligations in terms of the Harbor Walk project. They were conditions of approval from the California Coastal Commission. One of them was basically a firm commitment to restore 5 acres of dune habitat. We've done that. We've met our restoration goals. We actually met them early. We had a 5-year process, but we were able to end those contracts for that because we met the restoration goals early. We met them at about year 3. That was one of the good things about having the project allocations. The goal, this is going to be hard. There's a lot of details, and so I'll try to keep it sort of big picture and not get into the nitty-gritty. It took us about 8 months, Susan, between capital project staff and accounting staff to actually get it all figured out. So I won't give you a full-blown recap of that tonight.
Thank you.
What we did was we started out the project. We had kind of a deficit in it, about $300,000 of over-expenditures in the design phase because of the Coastal Commission process and how expensive that was. Kind of deja vu with the wastewater treatment plant, where you get into that Coastal Commission process and it's fairly expensive. So what we did was we worked pretty hard, chased some grant money, and were able to use the audit process for some of our transportation expenditures as well as additional grant monies to sort of backfill that hole. And then what we did in 2008, we declared the project a parking in lieu, and we pulled a big chunk of money from parking in lieu to hold it in the project, basically to make sure to protect those funds in case they were needed by the project. They haven't been. So we're recommending that we return those funds back to parking in lieu. We have traffic congestion relief funds that would be better suited in the roundabout project. There's still a deficit on that project, so the thought was that we would put that money there rather than hold it in the Harbor Walk project. And then also while we were scrambling, we did some waterline work, and the water reserves funded that work in anticipation that the project wouldn't have the funding to do it. And so we're recommending that those funds go back into the water reserves where we think they'd also be better suited. So certainly council has some discretion in that, but this was staff's recommendation after a significant amount of research.
That work was directly in the area of the Harbor Walk, specifically the bathroom?
Yeah, we ran a new line out to the bathroom and to the fire hydrant that's out there. So that was specifically what that work was for.
Okay. Ready for a motion? All right, I move we approve A5. Thank you for that review, Mr. Wade.
Here a second. Second by Carla. Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries 5-0. George, if you would take your leave.
Yeah, I have stepped down because of family connections here on, what number is it?
A7. And then we'll call a break after that. You don't even have to come back. Any discussion? Any discussion on A7? Your motion to approve?
So moved.
Second.
Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries 4-0. Okay, we'll take a 10-minute break. We'll come back, and we'll go straight to the public hearing. If we take our seats, please, we'll resume. No, I left my guitar at home, but the piano is here somewhere. George can play the piano. B1, Mr. Livek.
Excuse me. Thank you, Mr. Mayor, Council. This is a item to go over the results of our sign workshop we held last fall, and to go over the results and to get further direction from Council where we want to proceed before we take this back to the Planning Commission. First of all, I want to acknowledge the support and help of Craig Schmidt from the Chamber of Commerce in getting a survey out to his mailing list and getting a little bit wider participation than we had at the workshop meetings. As you remember, Council directed staff to hold these public workshops and bring the siding ordinance back to Council for further direction before this would go on to Planning Commission for ordinance development. Public services staff engaged the services of strategic initiatives to facilitate a couple of workshops in September 29th and October 6th. At the first workshop, we looked at the history of the siding ordinance, the structure of the siding ordinance, some of the constraints that we have dealing with the Coastal Commission and the general plan. We looked at results from the tourism workshop, and we discussed how the sign ordinance should be aligned with how the community wants it to be itself to be perceived. Up on October 6th, we looked at how the perspective that the sign ordinance should reinforce the Morro Bay experience and promote Morro Bay businesses. We reviewed the results from the first sign workshop. We presented some alternative sign ordinance concepts that had various geographical areas represented. We had the Embarcadero area, the downtown, and the North Morro Bay Highway Commercial, which would be basically looking at Maine and then running that down south along Quintana, where it fronts on the highway. And then we also looked at some work that was prepared by Mr. Barta when he was formerly on the Planning Commission, a presentation to look at various sign options, you know, the kind of the good and bad and ugly of signs. Like I mentioned before, the Chamber of Commerce then took some of those polling questions out to a wider audience, and we polled about 460 of their members, and we did get about a 20% response on that poll. And based on the overall results of the workshop, we heard kind of the following items. There's a desire for different rules for different geographical areas. Those in attendance and those answering the surveys thought that A-frames and banners might be appropriate for some areas of town. They didn't feel that there was a difference between internal and external illumination of signs, kind of a nuanced item that would go into the sign code. And they also believe that there should be an allowance for multiple types of signs without penalty. Currently, our sign ordinance says if you have a, let's say, a wall sign and a pub sign, you only get half the sign area that you would have if you had all one type of sign. So if that's, you shouldn't be penalized just because you're choosing a couple of different approaches with your sign. So I think we can conclude that there's a strong or desire for modification to the sign ordinance, that there needs to be different rules and different areas, and that we still need to address the A-frame and flag sign, especially in the commercial highway area. That concludes my report, and Kathleen Wald and I are here to answer any questions that you may have. Thank you.
Thank you, Rob. Sorry. So what you were pointing out, what the desires were the participants of the workshops, and how many people did that entail?
Workshop total, I don't have the exact count with me, but it was probably 10 to 15 at the first workshop, about that same number. At the second workshop, the first poll, we received less than a dozen responses. The second poll that we were helped with by the chamber with multiple email sendings, we received about 91 responses from the community of 10,000-ish folks. So not a very strong showing at our public workshops.
Okay. I have a direction I'd like to see this taken. I don't want to hog be the first to go. Does somebody want to say something or ask a question before I do what I want to do? Go ahead.
Thanks. Mr. Leivick, if you could talk a little bit about the difference between, there's been some discussion about whether to basically start all over and develop a whole new sign ordinance versus modifying the existing, and would like it if you could talk just briefly about what that looks like as far as the amount of time and effort involved with the Coastal Commission.
Well, I think regardless of modifying the existing code or starting with a whole new code, we are still going to the Coastal Commission for their ratification of any decision that, you know, once it makes it through the Planning Commission and then City Council process, we will need to get that amendment to our zoning ordinance certified by the Coastal Commission staff. So, I don't think there's a whole lot of difference in time. Also, I believe that, we don't need to, in my opinion, we don't need to start from a blank sheet of paper. We have an existing sign code. There are many other sign codes out there that we can use for examples, but I would resist the urge of starting with a blank sheet of paper. And we can owing different types of signs. You know, like I mentioned, kind of the good, the bad, and the ugly of signs. It gave some really good examples, very good pictorials of what, you know, we may or may want not want our community to look like. So, you know, I could see that has a prominent place in any future work that we do with signs.
Okay. And then my last comment or question is mostly about what happens in the interim period between now and when we get to the point where we have an ordinance. Specifically, when we have a new business that enters the community, comes into the planning department, is inquiring about what they need to do to take care of opening a new business or an existing business that is renewing their license or making some adjustments. Do we have something in the department that helps people, something very clear, simple, helps people understand where we are and where we may be going so they don't get caught kind of in this middle ground investing in something that may not be allowed in the future or missing an opportunity to invest in something that may be allowed?
That was something that we could work on. I think we're pretty clear on where we're at right now. But as far as it's going to be a little while before we get to a new sign code. So I wouldn't want to tell any business to say wait until see what's coming. I would think that they would need to look at today's regulations rather than look to the future. And there is always, as we saw at our last planning commission, the opportunity for somebody to apply for a sign exception and have that reviewed by our planning commission for special circumstances.
So as far as a simple guide, one sheet informational piece, is that something that we could have available? Is it currently available?
I'm not sure a one sheet would cover all the cases, but we'll work on something that kind of is a synopsis, a snapshot of the sign code, and gives people a place to look further.
Okay. Thank you.
Piggybacking on Noah's last question, we do have the ability to implement regulations in the meantime, as we did with the A-frames, yes?
Yes. Currently, we have an existing sign code in place that the community expects enforcement of, and as resources allow, we do enforce that sign code. A few months ago, the council adopted an urgency ordinance that allowed for a different type of sign than we had allowed for in our sign code, so that would be another method to achieve that same result.
But if we wanted to outlaw helium-filled balloons, for instance, would that have to be an emergency ordinance? Could we just?
I think
that
they're already there. They would but be something
example.
Else. I would think that if we wanted to modify the zoning code, it would have to be adopted under the urgency ordinance, because every modification we make to our zoning code needs to be certified by Coastal Commission. And Rob can correct me.
Well, for signs, we should go through the normal process of amending our zoning ordinance and having that approved by Coastal Commission. Using the urgency ordinance, you have to make specific findings that the emergency is necessary, that there's some type of health and safety or some other issue that makes it important. You're usually doing a moratorium on some issue for enforcement or something of that nature. So I'm a little concerned to just use the urgency ordinance situation of forfeits vote just to change our sign ordinance, but it would depend on what those changes are and whether we can meet the standards necessary to approve it that way.
So am I hearing, let's take another example. We want to do away with all banners, for instance. Would we have to wait the year plus it's going to take to get this through the process, and maybe 2 years?
Banners are already banned under our...
Okay, well, I figured the banners are banned.
Let me give you a little bit of clarification on banners. Banners are allowed for special events. They can come up for 30 days, and for this current code doesn't specify how many special events that you can have a year, though.
I thought it was twice a year, 30 days, twice a year. There goes Kathleen.
But something of that nature, if you wanted to clarify that and not change the language of it, but just clarify exactly what is a banner, how it's done, that can be done more as a policy direction to staff to know how to enforce that, you know. And we've had this discussion with regards to A-frames. You know, council gave us the direction to enforce the A-frames. That was very easy to do, to determine what's an A-frame and what's not. Determining what exactly is a banner and what is not is a little bit more difficult.
Those are prohibited by the code.
Prohibited by the code. And what about banners on public spaces, like across from McDonald's and at the foot of the elementary school street? Not allowed.
Not allowed.
And what about yard sign type of signs? And I don't know what to call them, but if you think of our Yates Mayor political signs we put in yards, we have them around town for lottery, check cashing.
Well, political signs are different, but just the yard signs.
I'm just giving a description of the sign.
most likely they wouldn't be allowed because they would probably exceed their sign area with those signs.
Especially if they're in the right-of-way, then they're definitely not. But if they're on the private property, it would go towards their total signage, which most of them...
I mean, the two that come to mind easier, the two liquor stores that have their monument signs and at the foot are their semi-pole signs, their low-pole signs. And then at the foot of those, they've got several of the other signs. And it's not exclusive to the two liquor stores.
Probably not allowed.
Probably not. And what about windows? Inside of windows?
Because of the total signage under our curtain ordinance, I would say most of those are not allowed because you'd exceed the total square footage. If you had no other signs, the question is it doesn't differentiate between a banner that's inside a window and out. So technically, if they're banners, it would be illegal.
It does differentiate a little bit, sorry.
Okay.
you're allowed 25% of your window area coverage for a temporary sign. So that allows the grocery stores to put up the tri-tip for $3.99 a pound signs type of thing.
The fast food places typically paint or decal or, you know, the inside of their windows.
But 25% in temporary is a little different than what we have at the liquor stores and some of the other places.
That's true. Before we open it up, any more questions? Nancy?
I had a nice long chat with both Rob and Kathleen this afternoon, so I have no questions at this point, but I will definitely have comments after the public hearing.
Carla?
Thank you, and I also want to extend a thank you to both of them for their help in kind of trying to wade through this. I do have a couple questions, and then we'll discuss later, but included in here and something that one thing I guess I want a clarification on is on the pub signs, we talked about allowing in the emergency or the whatever you want to call it, the ordinance we did, that one pub sign per business. So I'm looking at a picture, and I'm not picking on Jamie by any means at Otter Rock, but it would be that there's a sign and then a sign below that. So does that constitute, and I'm just asking for clarification, does that constitute one sign or two? If your pub sign's hanging up here and you have one and there's one below it, is that one or two?
I would think it would be two signs. I think you could if it was for the same business, you could interpret it. Either way, I mean, if you look at the entire kind of outline of both signs, they just happen to be separated by a chain.
Mm-hmm.
I think I'd be hard pressed to say that that's two signs as long as they were for the same business didn't exceed the sign area.
So if I have the business that says, this is my restaurant, and then down below there's a sign that hangs that says, these are my specials or this is what I do, that's one sign.
As long as you didn't exceed the sign area allowed.
This allowable sign area.
4 square feet.
Right. Total.
Like the galley has the galley, and then they have a fish, I think.
Right.
But the total doesn't exceed.
Okay. And then one of the things that is not addressed on here in regards to signs, and I had asked, and you gave me some information, is about the dock signs on the Embarcadero and about how we quantify allowable or countable signage for the businesses that would be putting their sign on a public dock space, and how do we add the signs that are on their boats, whether it's, and I'm not talking about we're selling albacore for $2, I'm talking about the boats we have in the bay as businesses, the Papagayo, the Chablis, the Tiki boat, you know, how does that sign fit into their overall square footage, because you could basically be running down the bay with, you know, 8-foot banners on both sides, and they wouldn't be, well, not banners, but signage of some sort. And so it's not included in, you know, in the attachments here and how that factors in. So I'd like to find a way that we make sure that, you know, we have a conversation about how that works, too.
We're going to call those boat signs for the moment.
Yeah, boat signs for the moment.
George?
Thank you.
One thing that annoys me a lot is how about these flashing signs?
All waiting for the answer to how.
We always compliment you on how you're always right there. So.
Yeah, this one I might be speechless for. I don't have an answer for that. That would be something that maybe we would want to discuss further with our planning commission and get more public input. And we will, of course, take your
workshop.
Yes, take council's direction. Do you want that type of image out there on the pier?
Yeah, this is. It belongs to the Harbor Department, I believe. There's one on the North T Pier and one on the South T Pier, and yeah, they are what they are. Coke machines. No, anything else? So I guess I would hope at the end of this that we can at least. screw down on this, yeah, because it's going to go back forever. Okay, anything else before I open it up? This is a public hearing. If any of you would like to address us on this item, this would be the appropriate time. Just hop right up there to the microphone. Don't be shy. There we go. Here's normally shy John.
Well, I'm usually tongue-tied and reticent to speak publicly.
You practiced tonight, though.
Here goes. Mr. Mayor, members of the council, this is John Barta. I formerly served on the Planning Commission for about 11 years. I'd like to make two brief points initially. First of all, we do have a sign ordinance. It is capable of enforcement, so there is no vacuum right now for regulation. The regulations may be kind of funky and not happy, and that's why everybody's here, but you do have an ordinance and you can enforce it. Secondly, when Rob gave his report, he said that it was my materials, that I presented and things. It was not my materials. It was the materials of the Morro Bay Planning Commission, the result of several years of study, travel, photographs, responses, interest groups brought in, the Chamber of Commerce, the Merchants Association, code enforcement personnel. It was a long and drawn-out process. And it was only interrupted by the fact that the Planning Commission was changed, and so that's what I've been bringing forward. So I'd just like to say that that's sort of a preliminary statement. A sign ordinance is really, really important, guys. This is going to affect how our town is perceived by people for decades into the future, because once people get the signs under any new ordinance, they're going to come back and they're going to say, I want a sign like that one, or I don't want to get rid of that. And so we're talking about decades here. So it's very important. It's also got a lot of details. You guys have seen that in your packet. There's a ton of issues in there. And here's the bad news. There's many more details than you are even aware of or that were ever brought up by the public. And you will dig. I think you're starting to get the feel of that now when you see how big your packet is, just how much there is there. So it's a lot of stuff. And there's been a lot of thinking about that, and there needs to be a lot more thinking about it. But basically, you're confronted with two models. Okay, the first model is take the existing ordinance, which we all know isn't the best, isn't good, isn't working, which is why we're here now, and you can try to fix it up, tweak it, and I call this the putting lipstick on a pig option. Okay, it may have lipstick, but you still don't want to kiss it. And then the other option is to start something new and do something better and take a little bit of time maybe to do that, not as much time in immediate gratification, but you'll get something better in the end. I think that if you actually look at all the stuff that's inside your packet, all those things that people brought out in the public meetings and the workshops and all that, you will see, if you take the time, that those things fit into the outline that the Planning Commission in 2004 did. Because we had input at that time, we had discussions at that time, we thought about it, and it fits into that outline. So having said that, I'd like to suggest that the solution at this time, rather than get into all the little, you can't possibly get into all the little details tonight, not possible, is that you direct staff to take that outline that you have from the 2004 Planning Commission and that you direct them to work their way through that outline on a schedule and then come back to you with periodic reports. And you will be happier with the result that you get that way than putting lipstick on a pig. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, John. Love the metaphor. Very original. Who would like to go next? Come on up. Hi, and welcome.
Hi, I'm Kim Van Nordstrand. This is
Nikita.
Can you
pull that right down to your mouth there, Kim? Thanks.
This is Nikita. Soda machines are usually privately owned. So all you have to do is find the owner, and then you'll know who. You can have your soda machines moved. Just thought you'd like to know that. Are we going to be tweaking the sign ordinances for the city signs, too? I'm curious about that, because as we add more, weren't we going to do an entry sign into Morro Bay and things like that, designating different areas? Will that be in?
There you go. Well, I'm if I may go first again, is that okay? I'm encouraged by learning tonight that many of these things are not legal that we have. What I hear from the citizenry, and boy, I sure heard it during the summer and the fall down in the waterfront from people I don't know, just citizens coming in, how great it looks. What I hear from the town, ringing the Salvation Army bell in front of Albertsons, many, many comments about the improvement in the town. And to me, this is all linked to tourism, that the cleaner the town we have, the more inviting it will be. And so I am a proponent of enforcing our sign ordinance, and especially now that the A-frames are gone, the banners I find offensive, particularly there's only one left in the view sheds down in the Embarcadero, where we've got rid of all the news racks and the banners and opened up the views. We still have one. It's a private business that's blocking the view. Around town, the banners, I think, are out of control. Now that the A-frames are gone, those are so visible. We also have two spots in town, or two and a half, that are public banner spaces. If we want to discuss that and make a decision, if you're okay with it. I think they junk up the town, and this is me. And I do, I'm a local guy, when the Los Osos churches put big banners on the sign across from Albertsons, the fence across from Albertsons, they're not even Morro Bay businesses. I don't have a problem when football sign up for 30 days and it comes down and it's local oriented, but most of them I do have problems with. And the windows, whether you want to address those or not, that's mainly the fast food places that go top to bottom, side to side. So, and zones. I should bring up zones, and Carlos brought up boat signs. So that's what I have written down to, get input on and see what council wants to do. The rest of it, I think it needs to go to Planning Commission and let them start through the process of, as John pointed out, there's a zillion little details. I'm not prepared tonight to talk about square foot ratio or heights or that kind of thing. What I just mapped out is where I'm interested in, and that's it. I'll start on this end this time, Noah.
Thank you. I attended the sign workshops and also received quite a bit of comments and feedback from the public, both members of the public that aren't involved with businesses and business owners. And I'm concerned that if we go ahead and aggressively try to enforce the existing ordinance right now, we're just going to be throwing more fuel into a fire that turned out to be pretty chaotic for these different businesses that find themselves in different zones. And in some cases, it worked well with the A-frames, but in other cases, we found that we were enforcing something that, from the public feedback we've received in these workshops, perhaps isn't necessary. And I think we didn't have a lot of public comments when you look at the whole population of the town through these workshops, but when you include the Chamber of Commerce's survey, we have over 90, maybe 100 businesses represented, and that's pretty significant. I think you can look at those results and maybe not determine a final choice, but start to see generally where the business community's at, and I think that's obviously the place that's going to be most affected by this decision. So the one major comments or conclusion I picked up with, which I felt when we started this conversation, was that each district has different needs. And I think if we start to try to enforce the current ordinance without recognizing that, we're asking for more problems. Now, you brought up the fence bulletin boards, and I think that might be a place that I'd be comfortable going, because recognizing limited resources, it is a pretty specific place that is obviously public property and won't shake up a business or a district too much. I would like to see if there's an alternative idea about where we could have a community bulletin board. I know we've talked about that for a while. That would be interesting to see if maybe it's not available to us at the moment, but to keep that concept going and see if we could implement something that gives
I think it just cheapens our town. And actually, I think some businesses, they don't realize that they're cheapening their own business by putting these signs up. So I like to see some kind of enforcement as far as getting rid of some of these that are right on the books and say you're not allowed to have them. So that's all I got to say about that.
Well, I have quite a bit to say. Most of it is not about enforcement, though. I've spent a lot of time researching this and looking at the information that came out of the workshops. And as I said earlier, I spoke with Kathleen and Rob about it. So I have some specific suggestions for where we should go from here. For one thing, I think a city sign ordinance needs to be clear and simple enough to understand and enforce. It needs to be part of their building permit. And we need to go back and look at this three areas of town, and I'll get back to that in just a minute. A couple of things that came up just now. The public banner spaces, I think we need to save that for Morro Bay nonprofits. They're at the end of the street. I know the Garden Club uses it to advertise Dahlia Days. They do it for soccer signups. I think we need to say where it can be, but they need to be attached properly so that they're not flopping in the wind. At some point, I would like to address informational signs. There are some very inaccurate, misplaced ones up in the old downtown area. I think I ran around with a picture I took yesterday and showed it to several people, and I do want to pursue that, but not tonight. Okay, back to signs and my suggestions. First, no A-frames anywhere, sandwich boards. I think they clutter the place and make a mess. As we've said before, I divided my suggestions into three areas, what we are now calling the highway commercial, North Morro Bay, Quintana Road, and then we talked this morning and kind of had left out that little piece of commercial zone from Quintana to the freeway. That needs to be included in this. What I did was go back and look at the results from the workshops, and I picked the top four. We picked the top four things for each district. So in this highway commercial district, I would recommend that we allow what we call business directory signs. Those are signs like Craig brought to us from up north that are, I think he has a picture of them. There. I think the one on the right, I don't want to get specific, but I think the one on the right is the easiest, and there are ways to make that pay for itself through sign permit fees. The other one in that area would be awning signs, and businesses need to choose one of the above, or maybe two depending on the size of the space. I think we need to look at that. But business directory signs, awning signs allowed, wall signs, and only in these business highway commercial areas, feather signs. And we saw examples of those up there a minute ago. I think because the traffic's moving fast, I think because we have places on the hill on Quintana where you need to catch their attention and you need to do it quickly. In terms of those, they need to be tied to your business license so that when you renew your license, you have to verify that they are in good condition, that they're not tattered, that they're not faded. That's going to take a little work. Okay, in Old Town or Downtown or Uptown, whatever we're calling it today, the things that seemed most appropriate are pub signs, awning signs, wall signs, and again on the corners, the business directory signs, like that one up there. And we need to have staff talk more about or look into how many and where. The Embarcadero, the things that businesses wanted that look appropriate are pub signs, wall signs, awning signs, and once again, the directional signs, business direction signs. The other thing that we talked about was limiting those to what we call tourist businesses. So, for example, your dentist wouldn't be on there, your real estate office, the lawyer down the street. It would be your retail businesses. Other things I looked at and talked about, and Sabetta's Pizza has taken their cute little pizza guy and put him back inside. I think things like that that are not obstructive, if they're not in the way of traffic, they should be allowed because they bring people into your facility. Another question we talked about are handheld corner signs. We used to have that cute little guy for Round Table. Well, he seems to be replaced with a girl who hides behind the bushes or something. But, you know, those need to be, they need to be permitted. It just needs to be in the computer that the store has a permit to use those, I think. And we need to look at limiting the numbers. We don't want to end up with those on every corner. We've talked about window signs. There are some stores in this town that continually have sales paint all their windows and you can't see what they're selling. But I think that's covered in the amount that they can use. Signs for trucks. I think, you know, you have trucks that need their name on the name of their business, and I think that's fine. And this is a question that came up from some other people. You don't want them parked downtown or on a main street just to advertise their business. If they're doing business, putting in windows or whatever it is they're doing, I think then, you know, it's fine to have their painted signs on their trucks, but we've had issues with parking them in other people's places where when they're not doing business. That's it except for one personal gripe I have that I'm going to include now, although they're not signs, and that's stores that hang a whole bunch of merchandise out in front. You know, there's, and I'm making a value judgment here. I mean, there are places, for example, where they put two or three pieces of furniture or lawn stakes or things like that, and they look good. There are other places where they hang clothes all over the windows and the doors and put racks of clothes out in front, and it may or may not be in the public right away, but just a word of to the wise for business owners that it's pretty messy looking, and I don't think I'd shop there, and I don't know if other people would. And it messes up our whole town. So that's all I have to say.
Is that all?
For the moment.
That was, the buzzer just went out. That was very good, Nancy. Thank you for that. And I'd like to return to some of those. Hold on.
Well, Nancy and I met this morning for a couple hours, so she covered most all the stuff we went over. I don't want to do selective enforcement. I think it's pretty obvious that we have some concerns about the banners and how they're being utilized around town in regards to whether they're to advertise a community event or a special event that's going on. I have no issue with that. I think we should have some designated guidelines and make that available. I'd love to have a reader board for those events like they do in Los Osos going in. I think it would be the best way to really resolve that. But I don't want to do selective enforcement in businesses because we don't have the resources for code enforcement right now until we can visit that at another time. And I think it would be complaint-driven, and then it would be biased, and I just don't feel comfortable with that. I think the best thing we did was have the A-frame signs removed, and you know, Bill, we're on the same page with that. I think it's important to clean up the sidewalks and allow people to recreate and congregate in areas, and that sends a strong message and really makes our business community look good. There's a lot. I agree with Mr. Barta. There's so much to this sign ordinance, what you do, what you don't do, that there's no way to vet it all out. And I think it was pretty obvious from the workshop of the things that received minimal or less than 50% support that obviously, for me, I would think those would be things we're not interested in visiting as options for those areas. I think that's an easy way to move forward with some direction off of some of the surveys that have been done. And then it's just going to be a process. I think it's really important that we have some sort of guidelines established in the end that we can give to businesses as they apply for business license. As had been included in the presentation from the 2004 Planning Commission, I think a signed manual of sort, something similar to what Mr. Schmidt had from Healdsburg, where here's the sign application and criteria, so people really can have a better understanding before they head down the path of no return, so to speak, where they've made an investment and then they're not allowed to have it, or we enforce it afterwards. So I think those are all really important elements of where we're going. It's just going to be a long time to get there. I do want to include, if there's, you know, council support as we move forward, in including how we would address the both signs.
I would like to, I'll be a proponent right now of enforcing the banners, the banner rule. I mean, it's, we gave an option for the A-frames with the pub signs, but now the banners are multiplying. Pizza Port just put two now, one on the corner, one on each, one on Main Street, one on Morbay Boulevard. They're cropping up. If you're okay with that, fine. I would like to enforce the no banner rule, the twice a year, 30 days. Yes, I see a problem enforcing that. You know, who's going to keep track? It's not a very big town. We're all driving around here all the time. I think between us here, we could probably name every banner in town. You know, I think we should enforce it. I'm also, respectfully, Nancy, not a supporter of any moving signs in town, or flag signs by the highway. Flag signs turn into flashers, turn into strobe lights, turn into Andrea's favorite. This one, you know that one? And you know, we all think of Ventura or something. You know, you drive by there, and that's the whole thing. And those little marquees with the strobe lights. So that's where we're headed. If you want to allow moving signs, I'm a proponent of not allowing that. I'm with you, Carla, on the public banners. It should be our locals. It should be the schools and the nonprofits and local. And we've talked about the, I don't know what to call them, the yard sign signs. I need a name for that. Yard signs. Thank you, George. I'm really glad that you brought up the closed racks, Nancy. I don't know that there's anything we can do about it. We've talked about it at the Embarcadero meetings. There's three locations on the Embarcadero that put them out on the side. I don't know if it's on the sidewalk or if it's in their door, but it does not do anything to beautify the waterfront, for sure. Is there anything we can do? I don't, you know, how do you regulate that?
I'm not sure. We'd have to look at it and see how it is under their lease agreements. You know, and we'd have to come back to you. That's a separate issue than from signs.
It is. Okay, so that's what I'm a proponent of, and keeping the view sheds open. And then we need to address the boat signs. And I don't know that we... Is that part of the ordinance now?
We don't specifically address boat signs in our ordinance. I think that's a hole that we have in our existing ordinance where there's no way to calculate what sign area that would be allowed. I think that's something that we have to put into our sign ordinance to, because they're a business that does need to exist in the community and needs a fair and equitable way to advertise that business. So that's something that doesn't exist in our current ordinance that we would have to come up with, present to Planning Commission, and ultimately
to council.
So that's
something we could address now, because that would be part of a new sign ordinance. Is that what I'm hearing?
Yes.
Okay.
Go
ahead.
I was just wondering if I could rebut a little bit with you about feather signs.
Sure.
I don't see where they become blinking, sign, flashing. I mean, we have the picture, which was up there. And I think the important thing about using those in areas where you need to attract attention quickly is that they need to be kept in clean, well-kept condition. And I think that could be part of their permit that they get. Oh, good. Here, he's going to put it up again if we can find it. But I think they can be important, especially to an area like North Morro Bay, where North Morro Bay kind of gets lost. I mean, even the Caltrans signs don't tell you that you can get off there at San Jacinto to go to the beach, that there's beach access and that there's food and motels out there. I mean, and short of going to battle with Caltrans, I think we need to do what we can for our merchants up north. And no, I don't think they should have flashing, blinking, up and down things, but I think some nice, clean feather flags serve a purpose in specific areas in town. I certainly don't want to see them on the Embarcadero or downtown on Main or Morro Bay Boulevard. But I think that's one of the reasons we talked about going to different districts with different sign regulations, because they have different needs. That's it.
And a fine rebuttal it was. You know, if I can think of the feather sign location as a supportive, let's go back to the four zone conversation. So Quintana and North Morro are not treated the same, because I can treat North Morro differently than I can Quintana, but when you put them together, it's a little more difficult for me.
I can agree to that.
Well, I think these feather signs are just the same thing as a banner. I mean, most of these feather signs, what do they become? A tattered sign. That's what, you know, people leave them out in a long time. Pretty soon they're a mess. They're ripped and they're faded. What are you going to do? Have another enforcement? You can only have brand new ones? Or what are you going to do on that? When you start letting some things in and keeping some things out, you're just going to run into an enforcement problem here.
You know, they don't look like these welcome signs.
No. If they look like this, probably pretty good, right? They won't look like that in a month. Not in Morro Bay, anyway.
No.
Well, I wouldn't agree with that. I think by suggesting that you're asking us to start enforcing a new ordinance that we don't have yet, you're being selective with the enforcement, and it's just going to add more confusion to this scenario, and I don't think we have the need. It's not creating a public safety issue, in my opinion. If it was flashing strobe lights or something that actually was enough to create a hazard for a driver or someone operating a motor vehicle, that's one thing, and I think we would probably respond to that appropriately. But at this point, you're asking to start enforcement of an ordinance that we don't have created yet. So I can't go there, and as far as the question about whether to break up North Main and Quintana, I think I'd like to leave that discussion on the table for our Planning Commission as they start to work on this, but I'd be uncomfortable dictating that at the moment. I think there's legitimate reasons to go either way on that, and I guess I'd say I'm on the fence for that. And I thought the idea about the just to get us started about the cutting 50% or different signs that have received less than 50% support from our stakeholder feedback. That's a pretty simple and straightforward way to start to whittle this down for those different districts, actually, in the beginning. And I can support that again because I think our comments and feedback so far have been actually pretty strong because the issue is important to people. So, and then I did want to say that I would be willing to talk about nonprofits and so on in those public right-of-way spaces that are currently using the fences to get their word out for the interim because we don't really have an alternative option for them. And I think it would be easy enough for us to be enforceful for a business that's starting to take advantage of that space as well. So it would take a little bit of work, but I think it's worth that effort, and that would be someplace, again, where I'd be willing to go. But overall, it just becomes really, really challenging for us to enforce this, particularly with the resources that we have, if we start trying to be very selective.
Nobody has used the word selective. If anything, we have said up here, we are not proponents of selective enforcement. Everybody's on an equal playing field. So I don't know where you're plucking this selective enforcement from.
Well, I interpreted your comments about let's start enforcing banners on Quintana, for example, as selective enforcement.
I did not say that.
So what did you say?
Townwide.
Townwide. Okay, so I'm not willing to go there.
I understand. Mm-hmm. And are flag signs legal or not?
No.
They are not legal. So it's not like making a new ordinance. We're talking about enforcing the existing ordinance.
Yes, and I'm balancing our resource availability with that. And I think there's other things that we haven't, we obviously aren't legal, but we don't have the ability to enforce those in many areas.
This is a different argument. This is not the words that came out of your mouth was, we're going to implement a new ordinance, and it's not a new one. The enforcement part, we can have a discussion right now. Because I believe if we want to enforce the banners and the flag signs and the moving signs, the pennants, whatever you want to call it, we can do that. We have proven we can do it. How many of us did that initially? Three of us. You know, and now we've got the police and Brian and public services kind of doing enforcement. There's not that many, and I'm willing to do it. And I know that's not my job, and I probably shouldn't be doing it, and, you know, but nobody complained. I mean, we never got a complaint back. We did the pole signs too. Remember McDonald's and Burger King? They every single pole had double signs all over. I mean, we did those too. Everybody was cooperative. Will everybody be cooperative? No. But I'll bet you 90% will. As long as they feel that they're on an even playing field with everybody else. That's what everybody wants and expects, and I think that's what we want. And it's the only way it really works. So that's what I'm a proponent of. We'll start back at the end, and we'll do this again, and we'll see how we're looking.
Well, I guess I want to respond in part to the conversation or the discussion here. And I used the word selective to begin with because I feel that selective not – well, I did mean selective in part. Are we going to enforce evenly all the way around? But selective in that we're extracting one or two things that are in violation of a sign ordinance that – as many of those businesses have violations in other ways, whether it be the square footage of their signs, they have too many signs. To me, where do we stop at how far we're going to do with very limited resources for enforcement? And for me, what I'm afraid of is that we're going to take so much of that time or any of that time, and I'm not against it. I don't like the banners all over the businesses. I think it cheapens the community, but I want us to take our time to start working on this ordinance to move forward in a productive manner and try and find resolve to these things in an ordinance that will move us forward instead of spending the resources and time to go out. And I have no problem with sending a letter to the businesses that have feather flags up or banners up and say, this is our ordinance. You know, we are moving forward into a new ordinance, and we're asking you to comply with the rules. But to take the time and go out and start citing all these businesses for banners or the guy on the street corner or on and on and on, I think that's where I see selective. We're going to extract what we don't like personally out of what's being violated in a sign ordinance, when in essence probably half of the sign ordinance is being violated around town. I'd rather move forward in a productive manner with the limited resources and time we have to fix it instead of being out there. They're all trying to do, and I don't agree with it, but I know why they're doing it. And so I don't want to make it harder. I'd like to try and go about it in a more positive compliance as we work through this.
Well, you have mentioned the word citation. Nobody has been cited. Zero. And as I mentioned a few weeks ago to you, there's only one that was threatened, and it was a policeman, and it was two Sundays in a row, and he said, if I have to come down here again, we're going to give you an administrative cite. That's been the only threat to anybody that I'm aware of since we started this. I'm fine with the letter. If we don't address the banners, I've already talked about two new ones that went up in the corner there. It's going to march, and it's going to get worse. So I'm a proponent of enforcing the banner. I'm cool with it twice a year. Is it going to be perfect? It's probably not going to be perfect, because nobody's going to keep you put it up on February 4th, it has to come down March 4th. But we have a sense, and I've volunteered, and I'm volunteering because, you know, I think I've got a knack with the people and I can do it.
Well, you can, you know, part of what we had talked about was sending a notice to those businesses telling them, if you want to have a banner up, or we recognize you have a banner, it's not in compliance, and to continue to keep that banner, you need to fill out an application. And it doesn't have to be at a fee, but then it's documented in a time manner, and the planning department, public services department, would have an easier way of tracking it. So it's not just, I think that's been up there for months. Well, in fact, it's been there for 3 weeks, or maybe they're telling you it's been up for 3 weeks and it has been up for months. But some sort of way to do this in some sort of uniformed manner, other than just we're going to go door to door to door to door. It just seems like a lot of time, and I appreciate that you're willing to do that.
It's not door to door to door to door. It makes it sound like every business, and it's not every business. We could do an inventory. Maybe it's 20. You know, it's.
So that's why I don't even like these signs putting up, going out of business, or what you said. 30 days or 60 days a year you're allowed to do this. You know, that's 30 days turns into be 2 months, 3 months. I see those signs up, you know, all year long. I'm going out of business. There's some places been going out of business for a long time. So I'm against any kind of a banner display at all. And that's just where I stand on that one. But
well, I think at this point there are a couple of issues. Number one, we need to be very careful about making judgments that allowing banners or my report doesn't say anything about enforcement.
Are you trying to shut down the conversation, Nancy?
No. Well, I'm trying to get us back on track. We need to talk about where we're going with our sign ordinance. We don't need to get weighted down in the minutia of how many banner signs people have, how they're going to get rid of them. I mean, if we're going to enforce banners or the rules against banners and flags, then we're going to have to go out and enforce the rule against painting all your windows. I mean, this enforcement thing could go on forever. Yes, sir. It's your turn.
I'm certainly not going to let the topic be shut down and the conversation be shut down on that. But if, in fact, the direction of council is to enforce the banner regulations, we'd come back in 2 weeks to have that finalized through a noticed hearing, or not a public hearing, but at least be put on the agenda, if that's the council's desire. But it's within the ability, because you're talking about the sign ordinance, to provide its direction on the subject matter.
Thank you. Well, I think people who have used the word selective, if we're going to talk about enforcement, are using it in terms of being selective about just banners because you don't like banners, or are, I mean, that's just one part of our sign ordinance that is not being enforced.
Well, you could say that about the A-frames.
Yes, that's true. Yes, I don't know where
right.
we want to go from
here. Hazard. They post a hazard potentially on the sidewalks, and that was the reason we addressed that, was because they were encroaching on the public right-of-ways as far as being able to walk down the sidewalks.
If there's one thing I'm a proponent of, it's putting things to bed. And I'm feeling a council majority here. What about the? We'd have to come back. What about the letter concept? Can we just kind of close it on that? Can I get support for that?
I'd be supportive of that and allowing them the guidelines.
Okay, so at least we've got something.
Can I add one thing to that?
You may.
I think if we're going to have a letter concept, it needs to deal with other things than just banners that are out of compliance.
Such as?
Such as windows.
We did a letter already to the effect of and informed everyone, or all those that had business licenses, that the prohibited signs include signs, banners, pennants, valances, or any other advertising display constructed of cloth, canvas, light fabric, paper, cardboard, wallboard, or any other light material.
Wallboard too? Cool. Well, they certainly took note of the banners part, didn't they? Well, let's just do that again. I mean, I'm feeling a consensus there, and so this time make the letters much stronger and more threatening. Okay.
For the record, I can't support that action.
Well, I think we've got a majority. That's fine.
You know, we can bat this thing back and forth all night long. I thought we were here to give directions to our staff what we're going to do about a new sign ordinance. But I thought that's, you know, this thing that was brought up about, yes,
I'm supporting
what you're saying. But we were talking about here, it was brought up about when John Barta was on the Planning Commission, that they did a lot of work on that. And I suggest that our staff take a look at what they did back in 2000, 2004. I mean, it seemed like to me they put a lot of effort into this, and it looks like to me it was a pretty good plan. I don't know how the rest of the council thinks about this, but I thought it was.
Yeah, I think John's presentation is great. I mean, it seems to me, I don't know, you're talking about minutia. I mean, how far into this do you want to go? I mean, I wanted to have this discussion on the banners and the rest of it, because that's what's bothering me. And send that message to Planning Department. But I mean, I learned tonight that most of the stuff that I thought was legal is illegal, and so it's just a matter of enforcing it. From here, unless you have particulars, I'm ready. I would just be ready to send it to Planning Commission.
Well, and that's just almost exactly what I was going to suggest. Based on the recommendations of the workshop and survey results, and based on the recommendations that we've made tonight, I would move that we send, and the information from the 2004 Planning Commission, that we forward this to our Planning Commission and our Planning Department.
Dave and Maggie Cox, as well as Sherry Clark, all from BCA, and they're going to be presenting the marketing plan they've created for the city of Morro Bay.
Hi.
Hello, Mayor and Council.
I am Sherry Clark from Barnett Cox & Associates. We are the marketing and public relations firm for the City of Morro Bay, and we are very pleased to present the first draft of the 2011-2012 City of Morro Bay Marketing Plan. We have provided draft copies to the City Council, to the City, to TBID and CPC advisory boards for review, and we're in that process right now. This is the first formalized marketing plan that Morro Bay has had in a very long time, and we feel confident that this plan provides a blueprint for the marketing and public relations work that we are currently doing. The marketing plan really reflects the work that we started 6 months ago. As soon as we took on the City of Morro Bay tourism account, we hit the ground running, and we were concurrently formulating the marketing plan. So the information that's in the marketing plan is in place and happening as we speak. We gleaned a lot of information for the marketing plan from the stakeholders workshop that was done in August of 2010. We were able to identify a lot of the points that needed to be addressed in the marketing plan and to elevate tourism in Morro Bay. There are quite a few statistics in the marketing plan that we have pulled from a multitude of sources, California Office of Tourism, SLO-VCB, City of Morro Bay, to name a few. All of the sources are listed in the back of the marketing plan and are readily available. We laid out the goals, objectives, and strategies in the marketing plan, and as I said, we are implementing them with traditional marketing, print, and some broadcast. We are making an outreach to new geographic markets, also marketing to a younger audience, as well as staying with the baby boomers. We have refreshed Morro Bay's basic brand with a new logo, new graphic design, and new copy in all of the advertising components that are being used. We're also in the process of creating a brand new website, and that will be launched March 12th of this year, and working vigilantly on public relations for Morro Bay, which is really, we've seen some things really rise to the top for the city with the combined marketing and the public relations, and the marketing plan definitely speaks to that. We, as I said, have put many components of the marketing plan into play and already have a myriad of marketing strategies that are in play and have more heading into 2012. Our plan will definitely be to update this marketing plan every year. We want to get more detailed, more concentrated as we work for the City of Morro Bay. But this is our blueprint going forward, and we certainly welcome your comments and questions, and thank you.
Cool. Thank you for not reading it to us.
I can. Do you want me to?
It's an excellent job.
Okay, great.
And very thorough. I forget where I started last time. I'll go with Carla.
I don't have any questions right now. I'll wait till it goes through. But thank you. It is a great blueprint. It's nice having something, I'll say, for the first time in the 3 years that I've served on the council. This is the first time I've had an opportunity to have something in my hands to read and look at and give me some sort of guideline of what the direction is, you vision, and how we move. And it's a little booklet, but it helps. And I appreciate that, and I feel really good about the direction we're going, working with your company.
Great.
Nancy? George? Noah?
Yeah, thank you. I just was curious to know about going forward, this is our first time seeing it tonight. I understand this has been developed with the input from our advisory boards, but I was wondering what the process is, because as far as I understand, they haven't yet seen this formally yet presented to them. So tonight, we're obviously seeing it for the first time as well. What happens when this is presented to those boards. If they do have specific concerns, I would hope that that would be addressed if this isn't the final draft, then to make sure that that opportunity is still available to our boards.
It is. This was an administrative draft, and those are generally presented to the City Council first. However, CPC and TBID both got the booklet the same day you did.
Nature and Incorporate in the City logo, I love. Absolutely really like it. It reads nice, it looks nice, and it's certainly consistent. And I think that's huge when you talked about the branding.
Your energy is noticed and appreciated, everybody in your organization.
Motion to approve, D1.
Second. Any discussion? Anything else? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries 5-0. Good luck with TBID and CPC, and thank you again.
Thank you very much.
Okay. D2 has been pulled. D3, Ms. Luker.
Thank you. Item D3 is a review of the public art policy for the Morro Bay Art Foundation for a bus shelter design at City Park. You might recall back in February of 2006, the City Council approved a public art policy that talked about the donation of artwork to the city. That policy has been followed with this particular proposal that's to design or redesign the bus shelter at City Park. The Morro Bay Public Art Foundation has gone through the process, and I will note that both the Public Works Advisory Board and the Recreation and Parks Commission have both approved this concept and is provided to you tonight for final approval. I know that we have Ms. Barta in the audience, and I'm sure that if you had specific questions about what they're doing, she'd be happy to answer those. Otherwise, I will turn it back to you. Thank you.
Thank you. I love it. I love it. Noah.
I also really am excited about this. I think it makes a warm bus stop. And one informal conversation I had with one of the members that brought this forward regarded the idea of having a physical, actual bookcase there for a books sharing library, which is being done in other communities pretty successfully. It's kind of a fun twist on it. And I was just curious to know if they do wish to pursue that, would that complicate things as things are proposed now from the city's perspective? Is that option available to them if they decide that? Or how complicated is that?
I guess I'll jump in here. Good evening, Council. The type of furniture that goes in is definitely important to us. We've made some suggestions on the design for the couch, that there would be some no-sleep bars or something like that incorporated into it, so that some of the errors that we found in other transit stops won't be one that is duplicated here. So we're taking some precautions just through just knowledge of this type of a project. So as far as adding a bookcase, probably would, if as long as it's within the motif and it's fastened and the types of books that go up there would just be public in, public out, and other than a periodic cleanup, I don't see any major problems.
Okay. I'm comfortable with staff having that discretion to decide if that's part of what they'd like to do, then so be it.
Whoops, great idea. I think it will encourage you, more people to wait for the bus. It'll be a nicer place to be there.
Is it going to look like that diorama over there? Is that it? Is that the model?
Great, there it is.
Perfect.
Yes, I believe that's the model that goes with this particular art proposal.
No?
I think that's just a kind of a very
concept
plan. That's the word we're looking for. Thank you.
The couch is just too cool. It's just too cool. Yeah. So could I, is there anything else? Is there a motion supporting this art project?
So moved.
Second.
We'll give the second to George this time. And we're going to give it to, we gave you the last one, we'll give it to George. That was a simultaneous. Okay, discussion on this? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries 5-0. Thank you, Nancy, and your friends for, thank you so much for all your efforts. I know this has been, nothing is easy. I know, we know. And so thank you for your stick-to-itiveness and for, making this happen. You still have a ways to go, but at least you're this far, and And we know it was a long road getting here. So grateful to you for not giving up. Thank you. It's very cool.
We like
the cookies, I think. D4, Andrea.
Two public art projects this evening. This is the second one. This is proposed by the Central Coast Women for Fisheries, a sculpture project to be located in the Target Rock area. We have attached a concept. I believe they've come before you before with a concept similar to the what's a sculpture in Gloucester on the East Coast. They have fine-tuned that concept, and it's provided to you in your staff report. They are asking tonight for approval of this, and they will be moving ahead. They are also here in the audience if you have specific questions.
This is another one that's been in the pipeline a long time, and thank you for hanging in there.
And they really have worked fundraising and really moving this effort forward. And I know it says in here 2008, but I think this has been in the works a lot longer, long time, and it's nice to see the families of our commercial fishing business be the ones bringing this forward. It really is great. Thank you.
So thank you, and please thank all the other wives. I mean, Lori French and all the others. I know that there's a lot of you involved in this, and we're all excited to see it actually come to reality.
If anybody needs a clap, they do.
No? Thank you. I'm just actually curious about the organization. Obviously, has a website and opportunities for people to get involved to learn more about them. Is that part of the display? Is there a place there that lets people take a look, and if they'd like to learn more, they have a place to go with that? Or is that
one of you want to pop up here, or both?
Come on
up.
Come on, Susan.
We're going to grill you now.
Come on, Susan.
Are you talking about the finished product then once it's up?
Yeah.
We haven't decided yet what we're going to be putting up there. There'll be some sort of a placard honoring the fishing families and, you know, probably some information about our organization as well.
Great. And you have that invitation as far as the concept now. That mm-hmm. wouldn't be something that you'd have to come back for if you decide to do that?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
No, I guess that might be a question to staff.
You're speaking about if we have this up on our website? Okay.
Something as simple as having their website or just a statement about who raised the funds for this and so on.
No, we can probably anticipate some type of a plaque at the base of the monuments or at the entrance to the monuments that says some information from the group and maybe some relative links if that's appropriate. But I think that kind of a plaque won't come back to you.
Unless
you're directing us to do that.
No, I wanted to make sure they had the opening and ability to do that. Yeah. Okay, excellent. Thank you very much.
Since they're up here, before they get away, I guess you do have a website. Mm-hmm. Is there a chance that you might be accepting donations from individuals or foundations or companies that might want to contribute to this?
Mm-hmm. Definitely, yeah. In fact,
and your website or number where they can get you?
Yeah, the website is www.womenforfish.org.
Okay.
And they can go to our site. And also our mailing address is 785 Quintana Road, number 106 in Morro Bay.
Thank you.
You can send a donation there as well.
And how much money do you need to complete your project?
We've raised $50,000, and we need about another $60,000 to complete.
Oh, that's not a lot for a big company. Thank you.
Or you would think it's not a lot until you've got the handout.
Well, I know.
$50,000 is very impressive.
And we did that in basically a year's
time.
You can
get halfway. So you can
you're doing a great job.
Yeah, we'll get there.
Hopefully somebody will help you come up with the rest of it. Thank you.
Yeah, and we're going to have the miniature versions. They're called maquettes. They were cast in bronze at a foundry in Thailand by our artist, and they're being shipped out this week. So we will be selling those as well as part of our fundraising efforts. Yeah, we're getting a set of seven. There'll be three sets of seven to start with and see how we do with that.
When do you anticipate this being done?
Well, the artist wants to start on the big pieces probably in April of this year, but I think we want to wait just a little bit longer to make sure we have all the funds available to pay her.
Yeah. Cool. call us.
But the little people will be here probably in a month and a half. We just sent the money for shipping.
And so what were those sell for?
$750 for the three. Or are we selling them individually?
Yeah.
For one?
There'll be the mother and the daughter together.
Uh-huh.
And then the little boy on a rock fishing as a separate one. So there'll be two and one.
Yeah. Cool.
Do you suppose that we could agendize them to bring their miniatures back or just come back at public comment and show us?
Sure,
we'd love to see.
Yeah, I'd love to show them to you.
Mm-hmm.
Talk to me before the meeting, and then I'll put you up front and hold it up on the TV camera, and we'll see if we can't get some takers for you. And, you know, all our numbers are very public. If you need us, I'm speaking for everybody up here, just call whoever you like, and, you know, I know any of us will help you in any way we can.
Thank you. We appreciate it.
We do appreciate your support.
Okay. You're welcome. Did we do a motion?
Motion to approve D4.
Second.
Discussion. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed. D5. Any questions on D5? Any problems? Anybody not like what they've got?
To learn about what has been done in other communities and give our attorney the time and authorization to look into it a little more about how that could fit here in Morro Bay.
I would definitely support that. My potting shed does not need a phone book.
I would support it with limited time spent on it.
Absolutely.
As a preliminary.
Okay, cool.
All right. And then my second one is a follow-up to our discussion earlier regarding the community bulletin board. I'd like to have that concept be brought back by our staff, perhaps with some input from our Chamber of Commerce about some simple, low-resource options for us to initiate and explore where some bulletin boards could fit and how they could work.
Okay. Where? Well, I guess I can't ask questions. Fine. I guess that's self-explanatory. I'll support that. You want to support that? Yeah, cool.
Okay, great. Thanks.
George?
That's fine.
I have one. I would like to agendize a discussion on the homeless situation we have in Morro Bay.
I would support that.
Okay. I'm gonna probably put that at the top of the heap so you don't think I'm horning ahead of you or something. It's winter. We know what's going on right now, so we'll probably bring that back next time if that's okay with everybody. Nancy.
Yes.
Your turn. Declaration. Carla.
She's looking as if she has a question.
Yes.
Mayor Yates, can clarification on what you're expecting in that staff report? Is it something you're going to prepare?
I'll take care of it.
Okay, great.
Yeah,
thank you.
It's basically a conversation to get started to address or not address the homeless situation we have in Morro Bay. Carla.
We've actually been following up on that conversation. I have one. I would like to ask for an informational item from the fire department to come to us on our sprinkler ordinance in the city of Morro Bay in regards to residential and commercial, what our ordinance is and versus what the state's guidelines are.
Okay. Done.
Thank you.
Anything else from any council members? Anything else from staff? Thank you all. We are adjourned.